Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. I taught for 12 years, loved it, and I'm at the college level now. And so this is kind of where I just share my thoughts, my journey, what I'm learning, and anything that I have to share with anyone who's interested. And that's the basic point of this podcast. So teachers often begin the school year with team building activities. Or if they're not doing that, they review the rules and procedures and make sure everyone's well behaved. But what if we began with student-centered projects instead? The following is an exploration of six student-centered projects you can launch your first month of school. If you're already starting teaching, you've already gone through that, please don't hear any shame. Don't hear me saying that team building or procedures are bad. I'm just kind of offering a different perspective here. So here we go. Imagine you have a classroom of 34 students. It's the first week of school, and you have a mix of students who either spent the summer owning their learning and doing like these cool, amazing projects at home, mixed with another group who spent their summer hours binge watching Netflix or playing video games and never really made anything. Now, these strangers are in your classroom all together, and they're complete strangers right now, but by the end of the year, they're going to be a community. And so with that in mind, what do you actually want to accomplish at the start of the school year? Now, chances are you want to have team building and social cohesion, right? You want to build that community. Maybe you want to review former content and make up for the so-called summer slide. Maybe you want to clarify expectations and go over procedures. Or maybe you want a general pre-assessment of what your students are doing, where they are according to the standards, if they're, you know, up to speed, whatever. And often teachers will begin the school year with icebreakers. Now, for what it's worth, I personally am not a fan of icebreakers. In my experience, extroverts have already broken the ice the moment they walked in the door, and the introverts are perfectly happy to let the ice melt slowly. I have never enjoyed the small talk chatter of gathering names for people bingo, or the super awkward human knot, or the tell me three facts about you activities. That has never been my jam. But I get it. There is value in the pure joy and laughter of a great icebreaker. It's just not my thing. Now, other teachers will spend the first week going over expectations and having students complete pre-assessments. They might spend time in community building, but they know that the time they have is short and they need to just get into the content. So they basically kind of skip the team building and really focus on getting to work. But I found that there's actually a way to build community, to go over expectations, to pre-assess students, and doing all of this while also promoting student ownership. Now, if you ask teachers what they want in the long term for their students, you're likely to hear terms like lifelong learner, democratic citizen, critical thinker, falling in love with learning, right? Learning how to learn, you know, all that kind of stuff. And you might hear something about students being self-directed and independent, right? That's another thing you'll often hear. So what if we began the school year with a focus on this concept of student ownership? By starting with student-centered projects, you're able to make a bold statement that says, I trust you to be self-directed and I value your agency as a learner. Now that's significant because I don't think every student hears that at the beginning of the year. So rather than sharing three items about themselves or playing a game of people bingo, students can actually share their expertise and passions through things like Genius Hour projects or Geek Out blogs. So what about the procedures and expectations though, right? You got to go over those. Well, the beauty of student-centered projects is that you can teach the procedures as you go. It's an embedded part of that first week or two. You might spend 10 minutes going over a procedure grid, and I have a link to that in this blog post that coincides with this podcast episode. But but that really should only take 10 to 15 minutes. From there, you can really spend your time embedding these procedures and expectations in the moment as students do independent work, partner work, small group work, whole class instruction. You get the idea. So with that in mind, I want to explore six different types of student-centered projects that you can do in the classroom. So number one is Genius Hour. And the idea here is that students choose the topic. Now, they actually own the entire process, but it really, that would be the focus of student ownership here. Genius Hour begins with a simple premise. Give your students 20% of their class time to learn what they want to learn. They choose the content while also mastering the skills and hitting the academic standards. With Genius Hour, students own the entire journey. They choose the topics based upon their own geeky interests. And it doesn't have to be traditional academic areas either. They might like fashion or food or sports or Legos or Minecraft or deep sea creatures or whatever. Then they match these topics with these standards that are topic neutral. Now notice, by the way, that most ELL standards are actually topic neutral. They focus on skills, they focus on maybe concepts, but they really aren't about teaching a particular type of book. You get to decide that, right? So if that's the case, you have all these informational writing standards that are ELA standards and the Common Core. And they could be learning those standards as they research fashion or as they geek out on food or look at skateboarding or whatever. You get the idea. They're basically mastering these standards by connecting it to things that they're already passionate about. Now, students here are going to ask the questions. They're going to engage in their own research to find the answers. And along the way, they design their own plan of instruction. They decide on the resources and the activities. Each student sets goals, and that's a significant piece. And they engage in self-assessment. They work at their own pace. They're setting their own deadlines. Now, in the end, students figure out what they will make and how they will share their learning with the world. A word of caution here. This is not a free-for-all. The best Genius Hour projects have systems and structures that empower students to reach their full potential. But even so, there will be mistakes, lots of mistakes. You're going to have to experiment. But in the end, students are empowered to be self-directed learners, and they're engaging in creativity and critical thinking. In other words, they truly own the learning here. And so that's one way you can start the year off, is with a Genius Hour. Number two, problem-based simulation activities. Now, these are a little bit shorter than Genius Hour, and that's okay. But the idea here is that you do a problem-based simulation. And you know, there's some great examples out there, escape rooms, and we're going to get into that here in a second. So a problem-based simulation activity might involve doing a collaborative wilderness survival activity. You know, you have students figuring out what supplies they need. You do like a mock plane crash, and you figure out, you know, what's best, and then you compare it to what the experts say. And that's a really simplified version. It might involve something like a space simulation where they have to decide what items they will need in order to start a lunar colony or how they're going to fix a broken item on a spacecraft. You might do something like a breakout EDU project, which I kind of alluded to right there, where students have to solve problems collaboratively while working within a tight time constraint. The idea here is that students are working collaboratively, and that they're deciding their own strategies. They are forced to make decisions, communicate with peers, and learn from their mistakes. It's a great way to model productive failure and iterative thinking. So again, Genius Hour was all about owning their topics. Problem-based simulations are all about students owning the process or choosing the strategy. Number three are design challenges. And this is where students own the creative process. Now, I'm not going to get into design challenges too much here because I talk about it all the time on this podcast, but I am passionate about seeing kids being creative every single day in school. And this is why AJ Giuliani and I created the launch cycle. We wrote about it in our book, Launch. There's a video for what the launch cycle is, but it's basically a process where students walk through every part of the creative process. And I think that's significant. So, you know, it starts with look, listen, and learn. Then they ask tons of questions. They engage in research in the U phase of understand the process or problem. They ideate in N, which is navigate ideas. They start creating and making stuff, and they create a prototype, and then they highlight and fix. And then at the end, they launch that to the world. Well, the key thing there is that through every single part of the launch cycle, students are owning the process. And that's important. They own the process from the initial awareness into the inquiry, to the research, to the ideation, and then to the part where they're launching it to the world. Note that there is structure here. This isn't like loosey-goosey, open-ended, whatever. But the structure is designed to facilitate rather than limit student voice. And that's key. So even though there is structure, it's a chance for students to own the process. Now, I have, by the way, if you go to this blog post that connects to it, I actually have a free design challenge if you're interested in it. It is the Designing a Tiny House project. I also have the Create a Sport one, and that's another one you can download for free. So there are actually two different free downloads that you can access, and help you give that a look, because I think you might connect with it. And they're both interesting in terms of one uses math and reading, one uses more language arts. But the key thing there is, like, those are things you can do in the first week of school, especially the create a sport. That's something that your kids could do the first week or second week of school. Number four is similar to the design challenges, but it's the maker projects. And this is where you have students make their own creations. Maker projects are similar to design challenges, but they're shorter and they're based upon the idea of rapid prototyping. So there's a whole list of really cool maker challenges, again, on this post. I'm not going to get into it, but there are tons out there. So you can check it out in the show notes. But this is the idea that students might spend, say, 60 minutes, 90 minutes, maybe 2 hours on one specific maker challenge or maker project. And they do that the entire time. It's very hands-on, very collaborative. It's the things that we've all seen before, right? The marshmallow challenge or making a bridge or those types of things. Number five is Wonder Week. And this is where students own the question process. You're letting students ask the questions. Now, the Wonder Week project is sort of this inquiry-based week-long project where students ask questions about anything they find interesting. These are those nagging questions that they're just dying to find the answer to. And so students start at that place of inquiry with a particular question, and then they move into research. They might go online and look for answers on websites like Wikipedia, or they might look at YouTube videos. They might listen to a podcast. They might contact experts in the field and send out emails or even do video conferencing. And eventually they share their answers in a blog, video, or podcast. It helps to think of Wonder Week as a sort of shorter, tighter version of Genius Hour. There's less creative work involved. There's less struggling involved. It takes a shorter amount of time. But it does tell them that they have the chance to chase their curiosity. And number six are the Geek Out blogs. And this is where students are building an audience. The idea here is simple. Students write topical or thematic blog posts in topics that they geek out about. And we all have those things. You might be into, I don't know, crocheting and knitting or food or sports or whatever. You get the idea. Fashion, gaming, cars, history, science, whatever you're into. Whatever you geek out about, that's what you get to blog about. And next, they create a specific themed blog. They define the driving interest as well as the audience. And from there, they begin writing blog posts in various formats. They choose the format, like video, audio, and text. They choose the topics. They engage in research and share their findings with the classmates. They create posts that range from listicles to Q&A to interviews to human interest stories or persuasive pieces, advocacy pieces, instructions on how to do things, information about how stuff works. You get the idea. It is really open-ended in Geek Out Blogs. And with Geek Out Blogs, students get to own the entire writing process from finding a topic and all the way through growing an audience and sending it out to the world. They get to do the writing, the editing, the publishing. They choose how long or short their pieces are. They're basically really becoming true bloggers. And so here's the thing. We want kids to become a community of makers. When you start the year off with student-centered projects, you set the tone for students to become self-starters, self-managers, and that's something that we want them to be. When they are self-managers and self-starters, then the learning is truly self-directed. But it's more than just helping them become responsible, right? It's more than that. When you start with student ownership, you're sending this powerful message to students that it's okay to be known and that their passions, interests, and expertise are valuable and important in the classroom. So as they feel known and trusted on an individual level, they're then able to share their ideas safely with the classmates. From there, you grow into this tight classroom community, able to share your ideas and passions and dreams and whatever else with the people around you. And there, you're able to recognize and appreciate the diverse range of interests and talents and everything else that's present in your room. And when that happens, you grow into a community of makers. And when that happens, you've already begun to transform the classroom into a bastion of creativity and wonder. And that's almost magical. Hey, thanks for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast at all, would you do two different things? Number one, would you tell a friend about it and just share the fact that this is a podcast? And then number two, would you leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you listen to your podcasts? So have a wonderful day and go make something awesome.